Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Locker Room. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerino. Alongside me today are my two co-hosts, Jordan Navarro and my man, Adam Hood. Adam, how are we doing?
I am great. I'm glad to be back. It's been a little hiatus. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. You know, you're living good. You and Jordan are living good down in Alabama right now. Jordan, how are we doing?
Mustache continues to improve.
I mean,
you guys are the most handsome people I know. I mean, it's got to be like one and two. I mean, it's incredible.
I mean, we're top. We're probably top two and both two.
We're both two.
We're both two.
1A, 1B.
1A, 1A, 1B. You guys are probably living it up right now with some nice weather while I get dumped on by some of the Buffalo snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold here, but it ain't that cold.
Yeah, must be nice. I mean, where I'm right now, we're getting a foot Sunday. So,
oh God.
Yeah. Pray for your boy.
Make a snowman.
We in the trenches.
Got to make a snowman.
Oh, I'll make one. We'll have some hot cocoa. Watch seasonal depression will kick in about 105. We'll be all right. That's all it takes. But we'll go over the Thursday night game to kick things off. The Tennessee Titans walk away with a 27-17 win over the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau, a chilly night, about 27 degrees there. And I'm be honest, I didn't see much of this game. I watched some of the highlights. Ryan Tannehill was a dog. On the night, he had 22 completions, 333 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. But Derrick Henry also joined the party. He's throwing that thing now. He is a dual weapon. He can run, he can pass, and he can receive too. So this is great.
You know, Derrick Henry had the highest QBR in this game. He was 2 for 2, 4 yards, a touchdown. You know, he was living it up.
That's all you need.
After the game, Tommy, Todd Downing, you know, they're in Green Bay. There's not a lot to do there. You know, he wanted to cut loose on the town a little bit, and he got hit with a DUI.
He had a different kind of high percentage.
Yeah. He had a couple of road sodas, that's all.
Yeah, but he had delusional confidence. So I think he was drunk at the game because this is the best play calling the Titans have had all season, maybe in 2 years. Breakout game for Treylon Burks, 7 for 111. Robert Woods got involved, 6 for 69. We love that number. Derrick Henry, 2 for 45. Austin Hooper was getting involved. I mean, even Jeff Swaim caught a pass for 3 yards. They were tossing that thing. It was having a good old time. It was a turkey bowl, and the Titans, you know, their team came out on top. The Packers, on the other hand, it was more of the same. Mediocrity. It just happens that Christian Watson is catching the touchdowns now instead of Aaron Jones. That's the only difference.
I mean, Christian Watson or Randy Moss, I can't tell the difference right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's balling.
Boy's in his bag. I'll say that. And then, you know, like we said, Treylon Burks, was this his first game back from injury?
Second,
and he came out 7 catches, 111 yards. I mean, this is what we expected a little bit when he got drafted, and then he needed an inhaler, and then his ankle went sideways. Now he's back on the field.
You know, Arkansas didn't prepare him very well for the NFL, so, you know, it took him a little time to adjust, but
those Razorbacks, can never trust them.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you talked about mediocrity on Green Bay's side. Aaron Rodgers, 24 for 39, 227 yards, and 2 touchdowns. What happened? What happened?
I think I can speak for all three of us. The Packers are just bad. It's just a bad football team.
That's it?
You almost think it would have been worth it drafting a receiver instead of Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, imagine having a generational talent like Aaron Rodgers and never drafting a receiver in the first round. Ever. I mean,
relying on Randall Cobb for 16 years.
Randall Cobb comes back and Aaron Rodgers is happy. That tells you all you need to know about this receiving core.
It's got to be bad. I mean, we are seeing a little bit of improvement, a little bit more trust, I'd say.
Yeah, he's airing that thing out to Christian Watson.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he can't catch. It's a 50-50 ball. Every pass thrown to him is a 50-50 ball.
I mean, you're not wrong. But, I mean, we have seen improvements in Lazard's number like we expected. I just think, like we said, there hasn't been a lot of time with these receivers. We knew there was going to be a drop-off when Davante Adams left. See, what he's the biggest security blanket in all football, basically, for him. It's going to take some time, but I think they're looking better than the past couple weeks, but they still got a long ways to go.
Yeah, you know, they'll miss the playoffs this season, and they'll get an early offseason, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers can bring all the guys up to the mountains, they can do shrooms together, and they can run some routes and work on, you know, whatever it is Aaron Rodgers likes to work on.
You're not wrong.
Team bonding over
these DBs on both teams also need some work.
Oh, well, you're not fixing that. The Titans don't like playing defense unless it's stopping the run, and the Packers haven't liked playing defense since Aaron Rodgers was drafted. So,
I mean, that was your
only one trying out there.
Listen, you know, they started off hot.
Yeah.
And then the whole team has fallen apart. Aaron Rodgers has soured this entire roster.
Blow it up.
It might be time.
Burn it down. Like we said with the Giants, take off the Eli Manning pitcher, take down the Aaron Rodgers pitcher, let him retire, go to Indy, do whatever he wants. Time to strip it all down.
Oh, God, not Indy.
Somewhere that's not Green Bay. But anything else you guys want to add for this game?
It was a thorough mud stomping by the Tennessee Titans.
I was just surprised how close the time of possession actually was for, like, after watching the first half, because, I mean, Green Bay had like 3 drives in the first half, but they still only ended up having 5 minutes less of possession.
Yeah.
It felt like it was almost 10 or more.
I mean, the Titans wanted to get them back in that game in the fourth quarter.
They tried.
Desperately.
They wanted to make it an interesting Thursday night game.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they just played Russell Wilson, and they felt bad about that. They felt bad, you know. They saw what
the Washington check hit from Amazon Prime. They're trying to make it entertaining.
Jeff Bezos was like, please, write down whatever number you want. Just make this game interesting. That's how the negotiations went. Right, anything else?
No.
All right, we'll kick off Sunday games. But before that, Jordan, you want to go over records?
Oh, yeah. So last week was a rough week for me. My record stands at 60-39. Tommy, you had a phenomenal week. You and Adam both had 8-5 records. You are 60-39.
Mm.
Adam, 37-32. Oh, so
still positive.
Yeah. Barely. You know, you get a good week here and your record's amazing.
You thought you could break away? Ain't happening. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, it's gonna come down. It's gonna be a tight race, man.
Never know. I'm sure I'll probably blow it up this week. We'll start off, though. Chicago at Atlanta.
Adam, you want to take this one away, man?
I can. I'm giving me one of the worst games of the week to start with. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
No, so, I don't know. Obviously, Justin Fields, he's that guy. He's got that dog in him. You know, it's Vic. And shouldn't talk about dogs whenever we go with Vic. But
whoa.
The Falcons, I'm surprised they even have 4 wins. That division is ridiculously bad. Tom Brady, everybody in there bad. But the Bears are somehow worse right now. They're 3-7. Regardless, I think Bears are probably going to easily take this one. And I'm going to say easily, but it'll still probably be like a score or two just because both teams are still bad. But yeah, I'm taking Bears.
Um, You know, every time I pick the Bears to do something good for me, they don't do it. I wanted them to beat Detroit. They lost. They're awful on defense, to put it lightly. That was the nicest thing I can say about them, actually. Atlanta, they throw the ball 15 times a game. Chicago, now throwing the ball maybe 20 times a game. There's going to probably be like 400 rushing yards in this game, okay? It's going to be ridiculous. Kyle Pitts probably going to get 5 targets, catch one of them for 2 yards. And Chase Claypool, 1 target, 1 catch, 6 yards. I would be excited about this game if Atlanta could score.
That ain't going to happen.
Atlanta. So I'm going to pick the Bears, but it'll be the least shocking thing to see Atlanta walk away with this game on a game-winning field goal after just playing horrendous football for 4 quarters.
I feel like they've kind of done that like almost every other week.
Like, yeah.
They played the Chargers a couple weeks ago, and I was like, how are they in this game? Like, I know the Chargers are banged up, not playing the best football. Like, they can play a lot better. But Atlanta was somehow in the game the whole time, and it just didn't make sense to me because this roster's atrocious. Kyle Pitts, like we've said every week, he doesn't get the ball at all. I'm saying him and Claypool, 30 yards total, both combined.
Mm.
2 catches each between the two. Chicago, I view this as kind of a big loss for him. You know, he's been part of the run game a lot. Khalil Herbert went to IR. I think it's going to take I won't say a big hit, but there's going to be a hit in the offense, I feel like, because it's kind of like that situation where I felt like they were 1A, 1B. You know, Khalil Herbert kind of stepped up and was putting up some of the same numbers on Montgomery in some games. I think Justin Field has too much talent, and he has balled out. He's riding that momentum, and I think they can somewhat get it done at Atlanta. I'm going to Chicago.
I like it.
And then we got Cleveland versus the Detroit Bills. I mean, Buffalo Bills.
You know, we've got 18 feet of snow coming down in Buffalo. The team hasn't even left yet. Who knows if this game's actually going to get played? It's supposed to be in Detroit. Buffalo's in Buffalo still. I don't know why. They've had the forecast for a week. Why not leave sooner?
Makes sense
Saturday
to me.
Saturday morning, they said. And they may not get off the ground in their plane or wherever they're going to take them. If this game is played, it's a dome game for the Buffalo Bills offense. They're coming off a heartbreaker against Minnesota. It seems like the type of game that Josh Allen is going to go out there and act a fool, as he usually does, but in a positive way this week. And they're going to destroy the Browns. So give me Buffalo.
Yeah. Now, the game has already been moved, right, to Detroit?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think, again, I mean, as well, the Bills are – I'm not going to say easily take this one because of – how bad they've been against the run recently. And that's kind of almost all what the Browns have going for them with Nick Chubb. So I'll say this one stays closer, but I do think the Bills are going to win unless they play down to their opponent again, like they did against the Colts earlier this year. But I'm going Bills.
I think it's going to be a good game. I would really love to see them both play in the snow. I would have loved to see Devin Singletary and Nick Chubb in snow that is taller than them. I think that would have been hilarious. This Buffalo defense is banged up right now. Tremaine Edmonds is going to be out. Tre'Davious White's out. And Jordan Poyer's questionable. That's a lot of key pieces on defense for him. Defense did not look good in Minnesota, especially towards the end. And I think if Cleveland can get the run game going, like Adam said, this could be a game that leans towards Cleveland. But I don't see Buffalo losing. What, it'd be 3 in a row after losing the Jets bye week and then Minnesota. I don't see Buffalo losing 3 in a row. I think there's too much talent on the offensive side of the ball that will let them go 0-3. I'm going Buffalo. And then next up, we have Philly versus Indy.
They take one loss and they go sign Ndamukong Suh and assemble the 2010 Avengers. He doesn't make your team that much better, but it was just an interesting signing after taking a loss. The Eagles are going to go into Lucas Oil Stadium. It's going to be 30 degrees in Indianapolis. For some reason, Jim Irsay and Jeff Saturday have decided to open the roof. I don't know why they're going to open the roof on Sunday when it's going to be 30 degrees. That's the whole reason for having a roof, is so you don't have to play in the elements.
It's the environment, man.
More power to him. Jeff Saturday, you know, he's a hard-nosed offensive lineman, and he's trying to build a brand for the next 7 games before he's inevitably fired, hopefully. I'm taking Philly. The Colts are just bad, and Matt Ryan, he can't keep getting away with this, okay? He's not going to continue to play this well. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to be pissed if Matt Ryan plays well again, because this is just – I hate this narrative, even ever since he came – like, I'd rather him do it at the Colts, though, I'll say, over the Falcons, man. Falcons deserve to be bad and stay bad. Anyway, I don't know why I'm throwing strays over there. The spread is somehow only 7 points this game. And I don't know who came up with that number, because I think that's going to get just obliterated. Even if the Eagles don't put up a lot, I don't think the Colts are going to be scoring all that much either. So I'm going to go with the Eagles, 9-win team. I wouldn't have expected that, them being the first 9-win team going into the season, but that's my pick.
Listen, Jeff Saturday is going to have Jonathan Taylor run all over that field. He's running up 30 times. That's what we like to see.
31 carries for 62 yards. It's going to be phenomenal.
That could be improvement from the past couple games he's had, besides last week. Shaq Barrett for this Indy defense is officially out for the year. Biggest hit. I mean, he's been out a couple games, so they've kind of already been playing without him. But like you said, this Indy team is just bad. There's just no bright spot, in my opinion, on this team. I think also Philly's coming off a loss. It's kind of a reality check for them. They got the undefeated season off their back. They're ready to go. And Jalen Hurts probably might have a big game. I'm going Philly. And then we got the Jets at New England.
Adam, this is all you. You're a big Jets fan. You know, I know you love some players on that team.
Some players. Man. The Patriots have been doing some odd stuff this year, and by odd, I mean throwing the ball more than 30 times a game. And if that happens, these two teams are so unpredictable. Like, I have no idea what the Jets are going to do in a game. It never makes any sense. Zach Wilson, he could throw 3 interceptions and still win the game by like 3 touchdowns. It's just
I don't know about that.
I mean sometimes. Oh. I don't know about this week. If that happens this week, they're not going to get enough possessions to actually have 3 more touchdowns, because the Patriots chew the clock pretty good.
I mean, Mac Jones might turn it over 3 times, but
that's also true. This could be a really close one, just, you know, slinging picks. But I'm going to take Jets, you know, big Jets supporter, obviously. I think I've taken them every week, and that might be why my record is so close to negative. But I'm going Jets.
Tommy, all you, buddy.
You know, we had our bye week last week. I hope we fixed a lot of things up. I know one thing. Zach Wilson has never beaten us. He's thrown 7 picks in 2 games against us. So we'll probably get to Zach Wilson. But it's not going to matter, because our offense is going to look horrendous. It's going to be terrible. Madre Stevens will have a good game. Damian Harris will have a solid game. Mac Jones will have probably a pick, maybe 2. A fumble, probably. I have about 120, 150 yards. Just how it goes. He can't throw that thing downfield. terrible decision making this season. I don't know what's going on. He should still be the starter, I will say that. But our defense has looked like a Bill Belichick defense. They make big plays. They have a fifth late round draft pick corners who step up and step up big. Don't know how he finds them, but he does it. Kudos to him. But I think this Jets defense has had a week against Mac Jones this year to figure out, probably get multiple turnovers, and I'm going Jets in this one. I don't have faith.
I'm here for the faith, Tom.
You know, No. Last time you had faith.
I'm bringing the faith. Listen, this is a bounce back. I know what happened. Okay, I'm cursed.
Oh, my God.
I'm cursed for the primetime games.
This isn't primetime.
The Bears had no chance. Listen, let me do my spiel, okay? I know the Bears, they went into Gillette, and they shocked the world. And then I said the 49ers would run all over the Chargers, and the Chargers played their best defense, at least in the first half, that they've played all season, okay? I'm not going outlandish here, all right? Zach Wilson is the worst quarterback under pressure in the National Football League. There is no doubt. It's not debatable. He's horrendous under pressure. He looks like me under pressure. And I've never played a snap at quarterback. Okay? Let's understand that. Now, the Patriots, Bill Belichick is great at scheming up pressures. That's his whole mantra. That's what he's done his entire coaching career. Like you said, the defense has stepped up. They're making big plays. The Patriots are opportunistic. And Zach Wilson, it's Father Christmas. He gives out the most opportunities of anyone to just destroy the game for the Jets. He needs to be a game manager, but he's a ticking time bomb. I think the Patriots will get to him like they usually do, and I don't see the Jets offense being explosive enough, because I don't think he's ever going to have time in the pocket to come back in this game. I think it'll be back and forth. I think, like you said, Mac Jones will give him some opportunities as well. But I think the Patriots can control the clock, and I think their defense can come out on top with a week to prepare for Zach Wilson.
Now, but you mean opportunities. Do you mean opportunities for New England receivers or Jets cornerbacks?
Listen, Zach Wilson will turn the ball over. Those
opportunities. That didn't answer my question.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. All right.
Taking the Patriots.
All right. It's not a clean sweep. I thought it was going to be a clean sweep. I was kind of hoping for a clean sweep. next up, we have, this is going to be a doozy. The Los Angeles Rams versus New Orleans Saints.
America's lose game of the week, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting this one out of the way early. And that's with Denver and Las Vegas on this schedule as well. The Saints, nothing going for them. Absolutely nothing. There is no positive about that team. It should have been blown up 3 years ago.
They have the most turnovers in the league.
Okay.
By the defense. By the defense.
Oh, okay.
They have the most takeaways.
Oh, so that actually reinforces me taking the Saints in this game, because Matthew Stafford is behind a Swiss cheese line, and he's already seeing stars. Seems like the perfect opportunity for the Saints to pick up a W. The Rams are without Cooper Kupp, therefore their offense does not exist. I don't know what
Allen
the Rams
Robinson
are going to do.
Robinson is still going to get three targets max.
I don't know what the Rams are going to do. They don't own any of their picks. They have no cap space. And their quarterback's old. And they have no offensive line. But they're going to be 3-7 after this week. I can guarantee you that. I'm taking the Saints.
I don't even think I have to say much. I think you said everything that there was to be said about that game, especially from the Rams side. I'm going Saints as well. It doesn't matter what they do. Andy Dalton, he can have the worst game of the year for him. I don't know if the Rams will score. Just
God. You're saying shutout?
Might as well. We call in shutout. I'm going Saints though. Obviously.
That is bold. I mean, I'm also picking the Saints to win, but I didn't think it was going to be a shutout. This is, like you said, They're the same lambs as always. And they're just, they're worse now. Matt Stafford.
Much worse.
It's probably a year or two, he's gone. Cooper Kupp, they'll sit him the rest of the year, hopefully. I don't see
him in playoff contention. Yeah, so.
I don't see why you'd bring him back in. Allen Robinson won't be on the team next year, though. He will be a free agent. The Saints defense has a couple people out. That's why I'm not going to say it's a shutout. But you can put in Andy Dalton at QB, James Winston at QB, Taysom Hill at QB. They're probably still going to win. It doesn't matter. I've seen what the Rams are. They're pretenders now. They're a fluke. Frauds. I'm going to New Orleans. Anything else we want to add for that?
No.
All right.
Absolutely not.
On to our boy, the Detroit Dan Campbells versus the New York Football Giants.
I'm taking Detroit. I'm not going to give any reasonings. I'm just going to take Detroit. And I'm rolling with you this week, taking Detroit.
Eight and two Giants sounds so wrong when it comes out of my mouth, but I think I'd really like to see it. I don't know what's going to happen this game. I think the Lions are, because they've had a couple games where I expect them to actually put up a ton of points, and they're averaging 24, which is, you know, it's good. That should be good enough to not be 3-6. But I think they're going to come out and still score like they did last week, possibly get over 30 again. And I know I said I wanted to see an 8-2 Giants, but I just don't think it's possible. So I want to back the Lions for this one too.
Saquon Barkley could have a really good game this week. I mean, that's the only reason why the Giants will be 8-2. That's why they're 7-2 7-2 right now.
What about Vanilla Vic? You not going to run all over him this week?
He's a bum. I'll leave that. He's a bum.
Fair enough.
The bum. I've aired out my grievances with Daniel Jones about almost every week they play. He's not good. He's dog water. But there's someone actually worse on this roster for the New York Giants who actually might play with Kenny Golladay. If Kenny Golladay's on the field.
Oh my God.
If Kenny Golladay's on the field, there's no revenge game against Detroit. It's just not going to happen. It's more likely that a Detroit cornerback, I think, will lock up Kenny Golladay compared to Kenny Golladay having a big game.
Big is relative. 2 years ago, big would have been 9 for 105 and a touchdown for Kenny Golladay. Listen, 2 for 30 sounds pretty good. That sounds like a big game to me.
We should have seen this years ago with Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp. He did the same thing with Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay should give that whole contract to Matt Stafford. I'm going to be honest. You're going to tell me I'm wrong?
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. But this Giants team, they don't win football games, but they don't lose them either somehow. I don't know how. And this Detroit Dan Campbell team, they lose football games a lot. Too much, I'd say. I really want to go Detroit, but I've been let down by Dan Campbell a lot. And
you're the non-believer.
I'm a big fan of reverse psychology because it's worked twice against this New York Giants team. I'm going to go Giants again. I'm not going to be upset if I get this pick wrong.
Okay.
And then we got two more 1 o'clock games. The first one, Carolina at Baltimore.
Minus 13 for Baltimore. Lamar Jackson's got the runs again. He ate some bad sushi once again. Either that or he's opening door handles with his mouth. I don't know how he always gets sicknesses.
He's licking doorknobs.
I don't understand. He always catches some bug in some game in the middle of the season. The Ravens are going to have Mark Andrews back. Gus Edwards will be back. Most of their offense will be healthy except for Rashad Bateman. The Panthers, they're getting Baker Mayfield back, everybody. Yay! That means DJ Moore is a non-factor in this game. Baltimore hasn't been able to stop the pass, but Baker's back, so...
There is no pass.
Dante Foreman, I think, is actually going to have a pretty decent game. People are expecting Baltimore to come in and kind of stifle the run. I think Dante Foreman and Chuba Hubbard can get the Panthers in the end zone maybe once. I'm going to take Baltimore because I have very little faith that Baker Mayfield can lead a scoring drive, and I think by halftime we're going to see Sam Darnold in this game.
Yeah, what's wild, I'm looking at the well, this ESPN stat is supporting the Foreman will not have a good game because it says the Ravens have allowed only one 100-yard rusher in the past two seasons. But this ESPN reporter says that Foreman will have at least 118 rushing yards and score three rushing touchdowns against the Ravens.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is the boldest of bold picks for this game. And I like bold picks. I can't run with that. He might eclipse 100, but I don't think he's going to have three touchdowns. I'm going Ravens here. I don't think it's going to be particularly close because, as you said, Baker Mayfield leading more than one possible scoring drive is not very likely. So I'm going Ravens.
I've seen Baker beat Baltimore before. It's probably never going to happen again. But I'm with you. Baltimore, this is a game you should win. Will it happen? I hope so. Lamar, maybe that's why they're not paying him, because he's sick like every other week. Didn't he get COVID like twice in one season?
I don't know. He's always sick. But even with Tyler Huntley, they could win this game by two touchdowns.
Oh, I hope so. But, I mean, you know, this is where you work in and Gus Edwards is back. Figure out who's going to be running back number two on the roster behind Lamar Jackson. Because Kenyon Drake has had some good games. I mean, Gus Edwards is familiar with the system. But if they lose, I'm going to be shocked. I'll be bamboozled. I'm going Ravens. We'll end the 1 o'clock. The Washington Taylor Heinickes versus the Houston General Mills.
We've got the Tank Commander Mills versus the Washington Criminals. I mean Commanders.
You mean Criminals.
Dan Snyder and what could possibly be one of his very few last games as owner of the Washington Commanders. He's going to want to win. Going into Houston, you're -3 favorites on the road, which is something Washington fans are not used to. You're going to want to win. Your defense has finally picked it back up. Chase Young is back. Taylor Heinicke's a million times better than Carson Wentz. Who could have thought?
Probably most of the NFL.
Should be a game that Washington wins.
Yeah.
I feel something in the wind, Adam. I feel something. Feel a
you might ought to stop feeling it.
I feel some General Mills is gonna get him one.
Are you sure that's
they
not just
0-3-1 0-3-1 at home. Washington's coming off a huge win. Something in my udders is telling me to pick Houston. So I'm gonna pick Houston.
I can't believe it. I can't support that. I'm sorry. I think Brian Robinson is going to run all over these fools. The Texans have allowed the most rushing yards in the NFL this season. I think McKissick is missing this game, which not like he was getting a ton of involvement before. It's really just him, Robinson, and Gibson. But Robinson's going to run all over them. I ain't got that same breeze blowing in here. I don't think General Mills is going to be doing much. I do think the Commanders will come in a little too big-headed off their win, so it might be sloppy. It'll probably be sloppy regardless, but it might start real sloppy. But I'm going Commanders.
It's a Washington game. It's always sloppy with them. I mean, let's be honest.
Listen, Houston has been very good against quarterbacks and wide receivers. Okay? They're going to be able to keep the game close. And Washington can't stop the pass. All General Mills has to do, hit one deep ball.
I mean, didn't Washington run the ball like 30 times in the first half Monday?
Okay, and? And?
I they can do that again.
I'm not scared of Brian Robinson. I'm not. He's not a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but
he could get 150 yards and they could lose this game by two touchdowns.
You get shot in the leg, you see what? You see if you're still a game changer.
He wasn't a game changer at college.
I mean, I think are they splitting 50-50?
No. Antonio Gibson just does more with his touches because he's the better running back.
I was going to say, I felt like Gibson looked a little bit better than Robinson last week. But I got to go watch. Is Chase Young back this week? Is that a bright spot for him?
Yes, he is. Yep.
He probably might not get any pressure. Who knows? It's first game back. He's got to knock the rust off. I'm going Washington. Taylor Heinicke.
Non-believers. He's the man. Non-believers.
Listen, I've seen Lovie Smith coach. It's not pretty.
You're not wrong.
I just can't do it. I can't do it, Jordan. I'm sorry. We'll start the 4 o'clock games though with a divisional matchup out west.
Yeah. Ooh.
This, watch out, guys. This could be game of the week right here. Las Vegas Raiders versus the Denver Let's Ride Broncos. Mm-hmm. Who wants to take this one away?
I plead the fifth.
Josh Jacobs supporter right here. I'm coming in.
All right.
I can't believe they're 2-7. I mean, I can because the team is not good, but a team with Davante Adams should not be 2-7. I don't care who's at quarterback. Okay. That is so much talent being wasted right there. But also a team with Russell Wilson. Seeing him this year, 3-6 is impressive. So there's just no winners this game. Like, I can't say much about it. I'm going. This is a flip the coin right now. I'm going Raiders, and I think it's gonna be close. I think -3 is not a bad line because it probably just be right at 3. I'm going Raiders.
Can I bank on a tie? Is that possible?
If you want.
Out of all the games, this is the most likely.
Vegas. Pat Surtain, contained Davante Adams the last time they played, so I don't think that's going to be an option for them. Not like Derek Carr was looking anyone else's way. But Matt Collins is the only other option he has now. Josh Jacobs has been phenomenal.
Who happens to not be good.
Yeah, he's a Jag. Josh Jacobs has been phenomenal. Josh McDaniels, figured out he can catch the ball. He's also a pretty good runner. I don't know how he, of all people, figured that out and not any of the previous coaches, especially John Gruden. But it is what it is. I don't think that's enough. Russell Wilson has the innate ability to put together a drive a game or two drives a game where it looks like he's figured something out. For about 45 seconds to a minute, he looks like Russ. He's cooking. It's pretty delicious. It's like those little sampler plates at Walmart that they used to give out.
Free sample?
Free sample.
Yo, those things at the mall, the Asian chicken. Mm.
Except delicious.
His is NyQuil chicken.
But then he goes back to the main. He tries to give you a second sample, and it's the NyQuil chicken. It puts you right to sleep. I'm going to take Denver because they're at home. I wouldn't be shocked if this game is 7-3. I wouldn't. Both of these offenses are dysfunctional. Nathaniel Hackett and Josh McDaniels are terrible. And I just think Derek Carr is going to beat himself. I think that's what's going to happen.
I can see that happening. I really want to go Vegas here because I think, Hunter Renfrow and Waller are both on IR. Last game these two teams faced, Davante Adams is targeted 13 times, 9 catches, 101 yards. That was with all three on the field. I could see some force feed targets here. He might just have to. I don't want to see Mac Hollins have more than 5 catches. It'd be great for my fantasy team, but I really don't want to see it.
20 targets, 30 targets, 40 targets. It don't matter. Denver by 3.
By 3?
By 3.
Denver's coming in without Jerry Jeudy. It's not like that matters because Russell can't hit him on a deep ball. You know what? I'm going to go with a better defense. Give me Denver. Defense wins championships. We'll go Dallas at Minnesota next.
Jordan, this all you.
I just traded him in my dynasty league. It hurt me. But, man, that boy, Kirk Cousins, Perk Thuggins, man.
Yes, sir.
Put up the most mid 330-yard passing game the world has ever seen against Buffalo. Came out with a dub and then got impersonated by Taylor Heineke. He's hit all the check marks for a B-list celebrity. Dallas, the pass rush, the Minnesota offensive line is actually better than people are giving them credit for. They're pretty good. Christian Darrisaw, I think he's only given up 2 pressures this season. He's played phenomenal. Dallas, I think they're going to have trouble getting to Kirk Cousins, believe it or not. Obviously, they'll still get there. They're a great defensive line. But the big matchup is going to come down to Justin Jefferson versus Trayvon Diggs. You two are my witnesses. All time. That Justin Jefferson catching his Buffalo? Top 5. Maybe top 3. It was crazy. He took over that last drive and said, we're going to win this game. Or at least attempt to. The defense ended up winning it. Minnesota keeps finding ways to win these close games. They shouldn't do it. Everything tells me Dallas should win this game in Minnesota. Shocker of the week, I think Dallas is going to lose. I think Minnesota is going to find a way to win another game they have no business winning, and they're going to be 9-1.
So,
you want to go ahead, Adam?
Yeah. The Cowboys, I think they're going to have some trouble figuring out who they want to go with more so at running back this week with Zeke coming back. If he is back, I'm not sure if it's actually confirmed yet. Because Pollard has been, I mean, he's been great these past 2 weeks without him. But if they start splitting and Zeke does poor with his carries, they're going to lack a lot because Pollard was keeping them in those games. And then on the other side, you got Dalvin. Like, you've got all these great receivers, but you also have some really solid running backs because the Cowboys have played poorly against the run this year. And Dalvin has been great as of late. He had an 80-yard rush last week. Like, for all the passing opportunities that go on this game, I think there's just as much for the run if the Cowboys can figure their backfield out. And I think this one will be high scoring, easily beating the over and 47.5. But we riding with Perk Thuggins, 9-1 Vikings. Absolutely.
I'm glad you brought up the run because I think this is going to be the tougher task for Dallas. Dallas cannot stop the run. We saw Aaron Jones run all over him. We saw Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders run all over him. We saw Lenny Fournette run all over him. It's something they have to work on if they want to make a deep run. The Justin Jefferson matchup, I don't know what to expect because we've seen Justin Jefferson. He goes off. He's had amazing games. His 2 games against Dallas, the one in 2020, 3 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown. Last year, 2 catches, 21 yards. I think we could get a big game out of him. You never know. Also, Kirk Cousins is playing primetime. We see what Kirk Cousins does in primetime. Is it going to be a drop off?
I wouldn't. I mean, it's 4:25.
It's still prime time.
This is like the commute game that people are putting on their radio as they're getting home, you know, from church or whatnot.
It's still prime time.
Okay, that's fair.
It still is, but I think with this run game for Dallas, I think Pollard has done great without Zeke, but I think he needs Zeke. They're 1A, 1B. They're a dynamic duo. You know, they're Jordan Pippen. They're Brown Tatum. They're Navarro Tellerino. You just need them on there. You both need them.
You know, I love the comparison. You know, thanks for bringing up our dynamic duo.
You're welcome.
Zeke is not very dynamic these days. He's great at falling into the end zone, but Tony Pollard does all the hard work.
He does. You know? I'm not saying that he doesn't, but like we said before, he's a better pass protector. I think he's still a little bit better of a power runner. I will say Pollard
right
now. That's
because that's all he can do.
I know, but what I'm saying, you need both of that, though. I agree. This Dallas offense should focus on the run. I've seen Dak Prescott throw a ball. It's nowhere near receivers sometimes. It's bad. If this run game doesn't get going, it's a 50-50 game whether if Dallas wins a game or not. I'm going Minnesota, though. I think this is probably the team to beat in the NFC right now. I think they're hot. I think they're finding ways to win games. I think they give Philly a run for their money. I'm going Minnesota. And, oh, we got Cincinnati at Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati. Pittsburgh, they picked up a big win against New Orleans last week. It's good confidence booster to show that they can still win some games at Kenny Pickett, but that was about all that game showed. They're not beating Cincinnati with Kenny Pickett.
I would love to be positive about this game. And we do have TJ Watt back, which is a positive point, because last time he was there, he terrorized Joe Burrow. That Bengals team is a lot different than this Bengals team. That week one team, they were still figuring out. It took them a few weeks to figure it out. And now I do think it'll be closer than the Steelers have been playing the past few opponents, besides this last week, obviously. Just because TJ Watt, him being there, it revitalizes the whole defense. If Minka's gone, that's not even a big hit. He's been playing poorly this year. But I think it's easily Bengals this game.
I'm going Cincinnati. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Yeah. I do think the Steelers defense can do decent, but Cincinnati.
Yeah. I don't think the pass is going to be able to be stopped.
I mean, Jamar Chase is not in this one. That's a plus for Pittsburgh. That's about it.
Yep.
And then we're gonna go to Sunday night. We have Kansas City going to L.A.
The Chargers played their best defensive half against the 49ers last week. It surprised me. Run game, not too much of an issue against the Chiefs. They haven't really been able to get it started. And they're without Juju, and they're without Mecole Hardman. But they have someone better than both of them. His name is Kadarius Toney. They have Travis Kelce still. They still have MVS for the deep shots. Isaiah Pacheco, you know, he's got some juice behind the line, at least. I mean, he's mediocre. But he's got some juice, more than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Jerick McKinnon's been really involved. Really involved in the pass game. And he's been pretty decent in the pass game for the Chiefs. Chargers in, they still can't run it. And Austin Eckler's only efficient, really, when he's catching the ball out of the backfield. Which he's done a lot, he's done great. I'm going to take the Chiefs. It's in SoFi. It doesn't matter. The Chargers don't have fans there. And I do think Herbert's going to put up a fight. I do think he'll put some points on the board against Kansas City, but too much talent disparity on the offense, especially at the coaching position, for Justin Herbert to make the difference in this one.
Yeah. What's surprising with the Chargers with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen? I don't believe anything I see on Keenan Allen. I don't know if he'll play football again. But Mike Williams, they're projecting him to come back this week, and like he expects to come back even himself. And off of a high ankle sprain, I mean, that stuff, I don't know exactly how long he's been out, but 4 weeks. I think it's only been 4 weeks now, and that still doesn't feel like enough time for that kind of injury. See, he went out week 9. And so this is week 11. So that's still he went out week 8. It was right before the bye week. I don't think he'll come back. Herbert without his weapons has struggled a little more because, I mean, most people are going to struggle with Joshua Palmer as your wide receiver one. And the Chiefs, they're just good, man. Patrick Mahomes is just so good. It doesn't really matter who's that receiver for him because most of that core is, and the backups are even all good, are good enough for. And when you have Kelce, I mean, he'll have 4 catches and 4 touchdowns if he needs to. So it's just, I do think Chargers are going to play decent, but I think Chiefs are taking this.
Yeah, I'm also going Kansas City. If Keenan Allen never plays football again, that's a heck of a hamstring injury. I will say.
Yeah, he's played one half since week one.
I know. I'm just saying that's one bad hamstring injury. Like you said, Kansas City's just so good. They play fundamental football. They don't make a lot of mistakes, and when they do, they don't have them come back to haunt them. Adding Kadarius Toney to this offense is just a cheat code for him. He's probably their wide receiver one now. I mean, he is very talented. You put him in a system like Andy Reid's, it's a recipe for success.
Juju has looked great, and Kadarius Toney is a million times better than Juju with the ball in his hands. I mean, you know, Kadarius is just, he's electric with the ball in his hands. I know he's kind of a meme now because of fantasy football and whatnot, but he's electric. If they can find him ways to get him in space, he can do fine in any system in the NFL, I believe. And now he's with Andy Reid, so.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen what Andy Reid can do. I think there's going to be a lot of big plays for Kadarius Toney's career moving forward in Kansas City. And, you know, Chargers, this defense is banged up, too. I don't know how they're going to get this win. They're banged up on both sides of the ball. I see Kansas City just dominating the whole game. And then we'll move over to Monday night. Mexico City, I believe. We have
It is.
The San Francisco 49ers taking on Arizona.
I am disappointed in how we played last week, but it's on me. I jinxed it. It's expected to be an 82% 49ers crowd in Mexico City. They're huge down there. You know, they love some San Francisco 49ers globally. I'm going to take the Niners. We don't know if Kyler's playing or Colt McCoy's playing. I don't think it matters. Cardinals have just been mediocre. They haven't been able to figure anything out. And I think the 49ers defense is good enough to win them games like this. And, you know, adding the offense should look better than it did last week. I like the -8. I do. I think the 49ers can win this one.
I think it'll be a closer game. I feel like it's going to be a lot slower. I mean, but it's because, like, last week against the Chargers for the 49ers, it was a well-played game. It got sloppy for both teams, but it was just a good game of football, like especially the first half. The second half, both defenses were kind of just taking over a little more. And I think it'll be a little bit of the same case here. 49ers are going to be able to stifle the Cardinals pretty good with Kyler coming back this week. I'm going to go 49ers on this one too. I don't really – the Cardinals are very, very hit or miss. So I'm going 49ers.
I'm also going Niners in this one. I think, you know, there's too much talent on both sides of the ball. McCaffrey and Eli Mitchell are back. You got Debo, you got Ayuk, you got Kittle. And it doesn't matter who they have under center. You know, Jimmy G, he can win them a game. This is a game he can win them. He's not going to win every game for you. But, you know, their defense – they get pressure. You know, Nick Bosa is just an amazing end. Fred Warner is a great leader on that defense. Secondary a little banged up, but it doesn't really matter. You have a good pass rush. If you have a good pass rush, it'll make up for a little lackluster secondary. I'm going Niners.
Yup.
That's it. That's all the games we got.
Clean sweep.
You saying clean sweep for picks for you this week?
Oh, no. The 49ers game.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Well, it can't be perfect because you picked the Commanders instead of the Texans. So
It still could be perfect. It could be perfect.
You believe too much.
I have complete faith in the Houston Texans this week.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
I'm probably the only Texans fan this week.
You're a faithful man.
Yes.
Anything that comes
out of Houston is bad.
I'm a faithful man. Yeah, I mean, the only thing, the bright spot in Houston now is the Astros won a ring again. Who knows
that's not a bright spot.
I said for Houston fans.
Yeah.
That's all they have. Anything else you want to add before we sign off, guys?
No.
I've got nothing.
That will do it for us this week. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Locker Room. We'll see you guys next time.
Peace.